You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Here we are in the live stream, fakeologist.com, April 8th, 2016, in the evening in America and North America. I'm on Install Media, and I'm here with Ab Irato, the caretaker of the site. How are you, Ab?
I'm great, and Chief Bottle Washer, and I'm a.k.a. Fakeologist, fakeologist.com. And it's so nice to hear your voice on Install. Great chatting with you. People like you that we need to encourage to revive the audio chat. It seems to have died off a little bit, but now that spring has sprung, well, not here anyway, but somewhere it must have sprung. Maybe people will wake up and start talking.
Yeah, that's why I heard you and Tom talking on the last one that, yeah, the audios have gone dead, and there's been a lot happening in the world, or the fake world. Fakeologist audio to talk about it, so let's get it going again. Let's get it going.
Yeah, there has been a lot of fakery. The fake world is busy running away from us while we are being derelict in our duties to report on it to the worldwide, who's clamoring for information on what most of us consider to be fake news. We almost have a moral obligation to at least make a comment, since all the people that study the news for real or for a profession are doing absolutely nothing to reassure people that most of this stuff is just totally concocted nonsense invented in the fiction department of the intelligence agencies of the world.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And it reminds me of like the No Agenda show, of course. They dance around the issue, but they never go into it. But they always drop it, like, as it gives them credibility amongst a certain audience. But then they just don't talk about it after that.
Yeah, are you still a big listener of the No Agenda show like I am?
No, not really. I still check into it to see what they're talking about, but then I just kind of, when they start analyzing the political stories is when I start to tune out or skip ahead of the audio, because it's really just, it's like analyzing a painting of people rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, you know?
I like that. Yeah, well, I still like it. I'm 1 inch away from donating just so I can get my name on the broadcast, and wondering if it will get named. But I'm considering it, because I have to admit I do listen to it, and I do think it's only fair that if you do something, you should pay for it, if it's a reasonable amount, that is. For instance, if I used Photoshop, I don't think I could pay for it at $1,000 for the fact that I wouldn't really use $1,000 worth. But I like the way they talk value for value. I do think it's the way of the future, and I do appreciate the effort it takes to do a podcast. God knows that I can't do one on a regular basis. I don't even know if I could do it well on a regular basis if I was paid.
I really wonder. It's a good model, I suppose. It's a good model. I do wonder how much money they actually make. It's interesting, but we don't have to talk about that.
Well, if they're telling the truth about their donations, it's a lot. It's a real lot. That's really bad English,
right?
But it's a ton of money.
Yeah, they're doing way better than I ever have, that's for sure. I work my ass off.
My math says they're banking probably about $1.50 a year each. Again, if they're telling the truth.
Right. What's the latest going on? We had a shooting at an Air Force base here in Texas, I think. But beyond that, I haven't looked today.
There's always a shooting at an Air Force base. Don't they do target practice there?
Yeah, but the kind I'm talking about is people shooting their psychologists and therapists, really. That's what an Air Force base is.
Do they have are they fully staffed with psychologists on an Air Force base?
On every base, I imagine, especially for veterans who have seen combat, they have to be well-staffed with psychological staff. And, well, not well-staffed. I mean, if you talk to veterans who have to deal with the VA, it's kind of like they just make a token effort. You know, they maybe have a few on hand so they can say that they have them to prescribe drugs as needed, but I don't think they really care that much about the mental well-being of their soldiers.
I understand. Well, you said you listened to the podcast with myself and Del Tompra, otherwise known as Tom. So I think the question that is on everyone's mind is, are you a squatter? Are you going to convert to the squatting method of going number two?
Oh, yeah, that's a good discussion, actually, and that's something I've been aware of for a little while. And I will say the best elimination I've ever experienced is when I was on a long, extended camping trip. And you just go, you dig a little cat hole, and I would like to find a spot where the ground was sort of sloping so I could stand, you know, looking uphill and then find, like, a nice tree or something to grab onto. So you can just really squat down in there in that hole, and it's the best ever.
All right. Well, I'll let the good listenership know we're talking about the natural way to eliminate number two, and it was a great revelation to me. It came on my YouTube channel when I was watching the Banana Girl, Freely the Banana Girl, who is very easy on the eyes, a little bit of an activist, which is great. She's got a little bit of spunk, and she made a comment about it, and caused me to do some research, which is what everyone should do when they are interested and follow up on what they're learning. And I did find a couple of products. I don't think it's going to be possible to put one of these squatting toilets actually into my house without great expense. And I'm not even sure they would pass the plumbing code without some dramatic alterations. So in the meantime, I looked for squatting adapters for regular Western toilets, and I found a couple platforms that almost look like tables that go over the toilet. So I didn't like the way they looked. The aesthetics were poor. But I did find a pretty nicely made wooden stool that envelopes the end of the bowl, and I ordered one of them. But and on a side note, I've already gone through all this, I guess. It's called the lily pad for anyone listening. But on a side note, I did ask to interview the inventors of the Canadian version of this natural platform and also his associate, the American version, who is apparently more chatty. But both of them declined upon looking at my website. So that ain't going to happen.
Wow. Yeah, you kind of shot yourself in the foot there if you want to do legit interviews.
I know. Well, I don't think, do I come across as a threatening individual or just am I completely wacky
with
what I talk about?
You're one of the most least threatening radio voices I've ever heard, and you'd be a fine interviewer of people who aren't into conspiracies or fakery, but I'm just saying when somebody said they would just be, yeah, I'm not surprised they didn't want to come on.
I think what I'm going to have to do is find some of my favorite fakeologists and just interview them about the weather and put that on another site. And then when I want to talk to somebody else about something, I'll refer them to those audios or something.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Apparently the fakery stuff scares the crap out of people. And with an allusion, of course, to what we were just talking about.
It seems to have an effect where either people totally dismiss it outright, or somewhere in the back of their head, they go, oh shit, it might be true, and they just can't deal with it.
Yeah, and I thought there were a few parallels between the Great Toilet Conspiracy, Because really, it's not. It is a conspiracy of sorts that certain people know, certain people that should know, as in medical professionals, they should know that the toilet is not a good instrument. And the reason why it came about with a lot of social pressure, with the king and his problems and the queen bringing it in, and it's no accident that it's called a throne, according to my research, namely that it was the king and the queen that were starting to use these devices, these seats in a toilet closet, as with the advent of indoor plumbing. And Sir Thomas Crapper took this seat, made it like a throne, and sold it as a bit of royalty for your own home. Now, it's not an evil conspiracy. But it is a type of conspiracy. And the conspiracy today is that there are not enough people that should know better trying to advise people that this could be a great contributor to many bowel dysfunctional disease-related diseases.
Right. Well, and it occurred to me that it's kind of a sick joke when you put it that way, as like a toilet being an item of luxury, these Western toilets, and they are to have that convenient way to get your waste out of your home is quite a luxury. And so here we are thinking we're all advanced, thinking we're, you know, just on the top of the heap, but we're poisoning ourselves every day by not eliminating properly. So it's kind of like a sick joke in a way.
It is a sick joke. And so when you talk about it this way, it is slightly related to Fakeology. Not much, but there is some overlap in the way that the way ideas are promulgated throughout society. There is a connection there. When the idea that nobody really is promoting it in a sense to hurt people, but the conspiracy is in the silence of people that should know better, that should speak up. But for all the social norms and pressures, they just shut up to get along and go along and live their lives. And the two guys are, there's only a few people in the world that are really pushing it. And the one guy in the U.S. that invented this platform, which isn't really a great looking solution, he's not even making them anymore. And I think it was on Amazon as well, and they're not selling it either because either there's no demand or no supply or both. But this little company in New Zealand, you can tell that they're a little more altruistic in that they'll give you the plans for $5. And if you're handy with the saw, you make it yourself.
Yeah, that squatty potty, that little plastic stool that's like six inches high, that is only a half solution, like you said. It's not, it's fake. The squatty potty is a hoax.
No, I don't want to say that. No, I don't want to be glib about my use of the word fake and hoax. No, it's a halfway solution. It's only $20 or $30, so it's a halfway solution, and it does make a little bit of a difference. I'm gonna say personally that my testimony is it does work to an extent, but it's not it's not the full Monty. It's not the whole thing. If you're gonna go all the way, don't do half measures if you can.
Yeah.
No, but it does work. It does work. I don't want to discredit it or disparage it, but for $20, it's just basically a fancy stool where you could get a couple phone books if you can find one and just put them in front of you and step on them. But who can find a phone book today? Just to let you know,
no.
I want to give you a timeline. I got about 40 minutes until I'm in my driveway, so if we want to race through some topics, we can. I'm sure people are sick of the potty talk by now, but it's just something that really inspired me, and I'll get over it, and I'll bring it back up again in about 10 business days when my delivery from New Zealand comes and I screw it together and put it in and try not to fall off of it. But maybe like a bird on a perch over the toilet bowl. Quite interesting.
You definitely want some handholds. You got to have something to hang on to.
Well, actually, I watched a couple of YouTubers that have something similar, And I did put them on the blog, morab.fakeologist.com. That's moreab.fakeologist.com. And they didn't have any problem getting on it. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal, really. You just have to practice. But, uninstall, what did you think of my idea to segregate the flat earth topic and even create a new chat, flatologist.chattango.com, where people, if they really have to concentrate on that, can put their stuff?
I support it. I think that was a great idea. And I was actually going to suggest to you at some point that that might be a good idea, but I thought, who am I to tell this guy how to run his site? So I'm happy you did it.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, no, I'll take all suggestions. I'm not, I'm not that proud of everything and anything. I can bend. I can move. Yeah. So, okay. You thought of it too. Okay. That's good. Yeah. Because I have a lot I have to admit, I mostly listen to, these are the only guys talking these days are the flat earthers. There's not much out there to talk that's being talked about. So that's really where I've been listening. And unfortunately, that takes my interest right now. Go ahead.
Well, you're right. In a way, it seems the alternative information realm has been highly filtered over the last 10, even 5 years. And now with the takeover of YouTube, it's like, it seems like we have fewer voices speaking, but more avenues to get the content out. So it seems a little skewed in a way.
Yeah, well, all the chatter I've been looking for and pursuing has been the flat baller skepticism investigation, and it's very toxic.
Have you been looking at any debunkers?
Well, if they come my way, and a lot of the guys I listen to, like Globebusters and Morgyle, they're happy to bring them on. I haven't seen anything convincing of the current model that we use, the Copernican heliocentric globular model, at all. There's nothing mainstream that's been too convincing at all. I haven't stumbled on anything. So other than the guys I listen to, I haven't learned anything new lately. But the guys that are doing it keep growing.
Oh, yeah. I actually monitor YouTube closely, and I look at for all the new Flat Earth videos, and it is pretty amazing how many new people there are every day.
Well, 9/11, JFK, Oklahoma, Sandy Hoax—they're all—they all eventually go away. They all fade in time. But the nature of this planet is never going to go away. Never. I'm looking at the sun setting right now. So every time I look at the sun, I ask the same questions: what's going on? Whereas 9/11 is not blowing up in my head every day.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Sun is setting every day. It rises every day. I look at it in wonderment, like probably every other human being that's ever traveled the face of this earth, which is an anagram for heart, by the way. I don't know if that means anything. And I see the moon half the time, sometimes in the day. And all you can do is wonder.
One thing about that is that seeing the sun or moon shrink away from the horizon. They always appear larger when they're on the horizon. So that is a flat earth argument I don't accept.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it means. I've heard people talk about it, but
I think David Weiss manufactured the video, or the one that he has of the sun shrinking away, because I've never seen that. And I watch sunsets all the time, as often as possible.
Okay. Well, you have a camera. You could probably film it and put it on YouTube yourself and make a commentary. I'm not too interested in that particular angle. There's a million angles to look at the whole flat Earth thing, and I just don't know. I'm still learning the ins and outs of perspective and whatnot. So, yeah, I'm interested in the topic, but I'm not obsessed with it. Especially the details. There's just so much to grasp. So many things. There's Antarctica, the North Pole, there's the sun, there's the moon, there's the curve. There's just so much to talk about. I just don't know where to begin half the time. There's a fulcrum pendulum. I don't understand that. Even when the guy's talking on the Science Channel, I don't even know exactly what he's trying to say. I don't get it. I've had to watch it two or three times is an official story, and I just don't understand it. And someone just brings up something simple like, well, if a helicopter hovers for 3 hours, the Earth does not move below it. I get that. That I can grasp.
Sure, yeah. No, it's very, very complex, and I'm not focused on the details either, but there are people on YouTube who go through point by point and address certain flat Earth claims and debunk them or in a what seems like a rational manner to me, and I'm not a scientist. I don't trust NASA. I think we've, of course, have been lied to and given false science because we've been given false everything else. So, of course, we have false science. But that doesn't mean the Earth is flat in my mind. It just doesn't – I can't make that leap. I need more information. I need more evidence.
But it doesn't mean it's round either. It doesn't mean it's round either is my
point. Sure. And, with false science, we're given bad math, right? So we're all running around with bad math trying to figure things out, and it's not working because
the math is just a language that explains. I wouldn't even call it bad math. The math all adds up, but it all starts with the theory that the Earth is round. Everything is it's a house of cards built on top of that theory, which is just a theory. And was it Copernicus that died, and then they dug up all his theories later, or was it Newton? I can't remember. I got the two mixed up. But just like Cavendish, he died, and then they dug up all his old papers, and that's when they revealed his nonsense experiment. It seems to be a pattern that I revealed yesterday, that they use these eccentric figures that are basically blown off in their time, but later they're glorified into these deities, these science deities, and nobody says anything about it. Well, the people that do say anything about it get shouted down, and it gets written out of the history books, just like all the other fake big events that occur. And then it becomes a lie that's turned into a fact by the virtue of the number of years that have passed by. Ben.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, of course, it is the biggest conspiracy, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about other little conspiracies, right? I guess one of the main reasons I'm turned away from the current form of the flat Earth, I don't trust the main presenters that are putting it out, because I've witnessed them say too many shady things and waste too much time talking about nothing.
Well, I agree. I agree. And so Mark Sargent, I was listening to Mark Sargent, sorry to interrupt. I was listening to Mark Sargent, and the thing that bugs me more and more about him, because he does bring on some guests, and I do like to try and understand what these guests are saying. That's the usefulness about what he's doing lately. But his explanation to some complex problems are, well, if I was designing it, I would just do it this way, and they can do these things. He doesn't have any real good reason other than we're all living in a video game, and that's how the video game designers built it. And to me, that totally discredits his whole everything he says. And I think that's what people like Eric Dubé. And Eric Dubé, I think, is just a great presenter of old material. I believe it's Rowbottom who wrote 100 or 200 years ago about all this. And he basically just reads out of that book, whatever the book is, and just these are not his words. These are just Rowbottoms who basically just faded away over time because nobody believed them.
Yeah. I think what you said is true, though. Sargent has crafted a platform where he doesn't have to address tough questions. He just has a blanket answer for everything.
Yeah, he just dismisses everything as it's just a video game. And that's how I would do it. How would you do what? He's talking about all kinds of magical video game technology under the earth that makes weather and makes magma, and it's total nonsense. And I think in the end, he's doing more harm than good, really, to the whole investigation.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark, if you're listening, but as it stands, I'm constantly adjusting my opinion of people, and that's my latest version of what I think of you, because Mark's putting out so much material every week, and I've said this before, how does he afford to do it? What's his motivation? I go to work because they pay me, and I can pay my mortgage. Who's paying him to talk about the same thing over and over again? How many interviews do you need to do to say the same thing?
Well, he made a lot of money as a pinball wizard.
I know, but even if he's rich, what's the motivation? You have to be motivated to do stuff. Like, I would talk about this squatting toilet if I was rich, because I do think there are some major health benefits. And that would be a good thing, really. And I would try and make money on the side, too, if I could about it. Because I don't see why people shouldn't be paid for doing good things. But he just repeats the same old nonsense about the video games that I think just turns people off, that are thinking people anyway. I consider myself somewhat of a thinking person.
Right. And that's why the flat earth topic is ripe for abuse and misuse, genuous presentation, because a lot of us aren't very educated in science and physics by the nature of the education system.
Yeah.
So, and it's been increasingly that way over the last few generations. So a lot of people who probably think the earth is flat just don't have the scientific or physical background to actually prove it to themselves. They just want to believe it, because and people, you know, if somebody wanted to steer the conversation or the quote-unquote movement, they would capitalize on that aspect of it and play on people's ignorance.
But Neil deGrasse-Tyson, he doesn't do any favors for the official story. He's just a clown. So you could say there's clowns on the left and there's clowns on the right.
Yep. And we're stuck in the middle with fakeologists.
Yeah, you know the song, eh? Yeah, that's a good one. Was that Jerry Rafferty?
Oh. I don't know who that is, actually. I
think it was Jerry Rafferty.
Well, that's some good mind control, whatever it was, because I still remember it. Song came out before.
Yeah. Okay, well, to remind the good listenership, I do have many sub-blogs under the Fakeologist heading. There's morab.fakeologist.com. There's savedchat.fakeologist.com. There is flatearth.fakeologist.com. And those are the sub-blogs where I just divide my time, one or two posts a day here and there. And, of course, you're listening to the audio chat, and you can get to that. You can listen to the live stream at fakeologist.com/stream. And then, or click on the main page on the right side on the top for the links to the 1, 2, 3 different live streams that I have going. I'm going to cut it back down to 2 eventually, but right now I just have 3 that I self-fund. I was thinking of doing some YouTubes here and there, but every time I think about doing it, I think of how much work it is. It's just easier to write a post or say a few words into a microphone, as opposed to trying to coordinate it with pictures. So, unfortunately, I haven't done anything lately on that. You were a guest on the Hoax Busters call?
Indeed, I was. That was a few weeks ago now. Yeah. That call just keeps getting better and better. And, you know, my friend Bernie came over, and I gave him the phone, and we had a good time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're fine. I forget what he said.
It's the heat of election season is it's pretty crazy here in the U.S. I mean, it's reached such proportions that I just don't see how where does it go from here? You know, it's like, this is bad, but what's next?
Yeah, well, we hear it all here too. Unfortunately, it spills over the border. Your news comes north. Our news, which we don't have really anything of, does not come south, but never. Don't fear, we're getting all of it. That's why I like the No Agenda show, because that's how I get my American news, and that's enough for me. What they say is enough for me. I don't need any more other than what they have to say about it.
I don't hear much coming from Canada unless it's really horrific.
No, there's nothing happening
here. Yeah, you're all just so nice. You don't shoot each other or stab each other, right? No, you do. I'm sure they do.
Well, I think things happen, but we don't have too many. We're not allowed to have guns in the city anyway. They're not prevalent, and gun crime is. I read the paper every day, and I don't see much. There are reports here and there, but I don't know which ones are true anymore, as you know. I look for signs that they're fake stories, but I unfortunately just don't know. There aren't that many though. And yeah, I would say nothing's happening right now. Nothing really is going on in where I live. I don't live in all of Canada. I live in the middle, and there's an East Coast and a West Coast, and I don't think anything happens on the East Coast because hardly anyone lives out there. And on the West Coast, it's like a different world, and we don't get West Coast news. The only thing exciting about Vancouver is their real estate is going up 10% a year, and everyone is waiting for it to blow up. They think a balloon can only go up so high before it blows up, so that's about it.
You know where I'd like to go is Banff National Park. Is that over in the west, I believe?
Oh, yeah, that's the Rocky Mountain Range. So if you went to Denver and just went north, you would run into Banff. It's the Rocky Mountains, which is, of course, a North American range of mountains.
What's the percent, the general public opinion on the royal family and the queen up there in Canada?
I would say there's just a very small group of what are called monarchists that like the tradition, but for the most part, nobody could care less. She's on our money, but fewer and fewer people carry money now. My money is basically plastic with pretty pictures of banks on it, so I don't even get to look at her anymore. I don't look at the queen much.
Yes, our money has become depersonalized. There's not going to be any more faces on it.
No, we don't really. I carry cash, but I don't use it. Just as a backup. It's a backup. It's a system backup. So the queen, again, is just not terribly relevant. Her name's everywhere. They name everything after her, and there's royalty-dedicated areas all over the place. So you can't not know she's the queen of the country, but it's just like the furniture. She's just there, but nobody thinks about her.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of how Americans are until it's election season. Then they start caring again, but as soon as the elections are over, seems like most people just don't really think about what those people are doing in their offices.
Yeah, but elections are never over. That's the beauty of the system down there. You have every 2 years there's an election, and the 2 years before that is the period leading up to that election. So you are in a perpetual state of election.
It's true. Yep, it's true.
It's always election time. That's the way I look at it.
Politicians even are campaigning with policies they enact when they're in office. So then later they can see what I did. I did that.
Oh, I meant to ask you something. I recently wasted at least 10 hours of my time watching Making of a Murderer, which happened in Wisconsin. Are you anywhere near the Green Bay area?
A couple hours away.
Well, this story is 10 years old. Were you aware of this story 10 years ago? Was it a real story 10 years ago? Or is this, I think the whole thing is fictitious. I'm wondering if it was ever in the media when they said it was in the media way back when.
I haven't heard of the film you're talking about or the series. So I'm looking
you got to look it up. The guy, I can't even remember his name now. It's just to me, it was an O.J. Simpson trial for Wisconsin. You got to look it up.
Stephen Avery from Manitowoc served 18 years in prison.
Yeah. How far away would that be from you, just out of curiosity?
From Manitowoc, not too far, probably like an hour and a half or something like that. But I don't remember a story of Stephen Avery.
Well, you would think Wisconsin is not a big state. If you're an hour and a half away, this had to have been one of the true at the time the area.
In 85, when he was arrested and convicted, I was 2 years old. So that's why I don't remember it.
Well, no, but it came back to life 18 years later.
Exonerated. I see now. He was exonerated by the Innocence Project. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've been skeptical of the Innocence Project before because their whole angle will never talk about the entirely fraudulent nature of the criminal justice system. So if they're really about innocence, they're pushing some kind of, it's got to be some kind of racket for the medical industry. I don't know what, you know, or pushing the DNA theory, but if they're so concerned with innocence, I think they would be attacking the system on a different level.
Okay. Or maybe it's the safety valve. Maybe it's the controlled opposition to say someone's doing something about it when really they're not doing much.
Well, right. And yeah, of all the falsely convicted people, they're freeing a small percentage. So it's probably a pressure release valve. And so he was released in 2003. He filed a $36 million lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, he was released on 9/11.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're the only guy I know in Wisconsin. So I was just curious if you were around or you heard about it, because I think the whole story's fabricated, and they got the governor to, it looks like, produce some video. I should look up the governor and see if he's in the IMDb, see if he's an actor, or this is considered an acting role. I guess it would be.
Good one, yeah. IMDb. I mean, already there's a couple of red flags just because it seems like it's already scripted like a TV series.
Yeah. Well, it was done for Netflix, and it was done in the same fashion as Serial, which is the best-selling or the most listened to podcast ever. And before I knew anything about Serial, I just started listening to it. And as it went on, I realized this is a complete fabricated story, but it sure was pretty good. It was well done, but it didn't take me long to think that this whole story is fake. But everyone loves a great story, so I just kept listening. And I think this is the video version of crime done for Netflix as a serial as well. Video series. So yeah, you might want to check it out. It's not riveting, but it's interesting. And I won't tell you the punchline in the end if you do watch it. But it really blurs the line between reality and fakery. It really does. And it's really sometimes hard to tell. Because how am I going to get any information? I guess it would be hard to figure out who to call. Figure out if this is real.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. I got about 5 more minutes, sadly.
All right. Well, yeah, it was good to chat anyway, briefly.
Do you think you'll be able to look at that?
Yeah, for sure. I'll see what I can find on it.
Is it more interesting to you because it's somewhat nearby, or that doesn't matter to you?
Well, no, I mean, I am interested because we also had more recently in the Milwaukee area, there was a Slenderman murder. Have you heard of that?
No.
Slenderman is a fictional character that exists online, was created online, and became like a fan fiction type of thing that people got obsessed with. And it's a horror story about this character called Slenderman who creeps around and is supernatural and terrorizes children and things like that. So the story is that these two, I think they're like 12 and 13-year-old girls from the Milwaukee area, stabbed one of their other young late girlfriends like 19 times and killed her. Or did she survive? She might have survived, actually. But that just happened a few years ago.
Okay. And what was that? Was that a fictional story that was they were trying to weave it into reality? Reality-based fiction? You know how they're trying to intertwine stories? Yeah.
It was on. It was all over local news, so the mainstream media was reporting it like crazy because it was a horrific murder attack story.
Yeah. You're saying the murder was real?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It makes me.
Okay.
I wondered about it when I heard of it. I was like, okay, so here we have an attack connected to this online fictional story, and it's all over the media, and it makes me skeptical of it.
Yes, because as you and I both agree, the media is in on it, or at least they're reporting things they're given as real, even if the source material is probably concocted by the intelligence agencies that run the whole world by feeding the world the script, basically.
Newscaster has to be in on it, you know? And I also think that crazy, you know, messed up stuff does happen, and they do report it. But I don't think it happens as often as we're supposed to believe.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So yeah, that was an interesting one, the Slender Man killing there from Milwaukee. And, you know, Wisconsin, we had Jeffrey Dahmer as well.
Yeah, you had.
So it's not all dairy cows. It's not all dairy cows and unicorns up here.
Cheeseheads, that's my favorite. Cheeseheads.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right, what's the weather like there today? Because whatever you got, we're going to get in a day or two.
Today it was a mix of sunshine and cold wind and sort of a snowy kind of hail-like substance at times.
Okay.
It was all over the place today.
That's what will be coming across the Great Lake of Michigan, and it'll cross Michigan and into Ontario area where we live. So you're not far away. You're close by. That's pretty much the same weather as you're part of the Great Lake mega region.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
You go to 2050.com, you will see that we will be in the same state eventually. That's a whole nother story. But, it was nice chatting with you on Install. And maybe just put a message at fakeologist.tatango.com for people to come over and join you. Because I'm going to sign off and regenerate for another day. Regenerate tissue.
All right. Yeah, good talking to you. Take care, and I'll hang out for a few minutes, see if anyone else wants to join.
All right, take care. Thanks.
Have a good one. I just want to talk about the Slender Man thing for a second again, because I didn't really finish explaining it. So the story is that these two girls killed their friend to please this character called Slender Man, because that's what he wants. He needs sacrifice. And so the questions people ask are, well, if they knew an old character, why would they kill their friend? And so overall, I mean, it's just generally a horrifically disturbing story. And if it's true, I don't want to speak lightly of it, because you have children whose lives are destroyed. And really what the sick part about it is that this horror genre is increasingly popular, and it's all over the place in movies and in fiction. And I personally don't like to ingest that kind of media. I don't think it's good for my psyche to see all kinds of violence portrayed on a screen or depicted, you know, in my own imagination because I'm reading a story. I don't like to do that to myself. It's not necessary, and I don't find it entertaining. And I actually believe that to overexpose yourself to that kind of media will ultimately desensitize you. Imagine that. So, and then people wonder why it's a self-perpetuating cycle. The more the audience becomes desensitized, the more graphic the horror can get. And that could be what's happening with fakery as well. They're upping the ante on the gore factor of the stories because we've had so many over the years. It's a cumulative effect. It's a long game. It's a long game. It's a very long game. And now I'm starting to ramble, so I'm gonna not talk again. Well, all right, since I'm still in the live stream, I'm going to go ahead and read an article about this case. And if anyone cares to, they can respond, leave a comment, and say whether or not they thought this article or this whole entire story is fake. The article I'm going to read from is from New York Magazine. Pretty lame. It's going to start about halfway through after the author has gotten all his creepy editorializing out of the way, for the most part. So the two alleged killers are named Anissa and Morgan. And then this is the Slender Man case out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 2013. Anissa says she introduced Morgan to Slender Man around October 2013. At the time, all three girls, meaning the third was the victim, were in their first year at a new middle school. Anissa and Morgan were socially isolated, but Bella, the girl who was murdered, was a social butterfly, according to those who knew her. In her interview, Morgan acknowledged Bella's role as her social lifeline. "She was my only friend for a long time. Even so," she said, "she found her gullible," in quotes. Teachers regarded Morgan as odd. She referred herself as creepy, and in one of the notes found in her room, she describes herself as a mental case. In the time since her arrest, she has been examined by a number of psychiatrists and psychologists who have concluded that she is mentally ill, likely schizophrenic, an extremely rare diagnosis for a 12-year-old. And though none of the experts who have testified on her behalf in hearings have found evidence of malingering, the term psychologists use for faking it, there are those in town who wonder if there isn't a theatrical aspect to her strangeness as well. During a court hearing in June, Jill Wiedenbaum, the teacher, testified that Morgan sometimes engaged in inappropriate attention-seeking behavior. She would bark like a dog, catch insects, and fling them at classmates. In sixth grade, Wiedenbaum was concerned enough to talk to Morgan's mother. In January, Morgan was briefly suspended for bringing a hammer to school. But compared to the kind of misbehavior familiar to middle school admins, Morgan's eccentricities seemed benign. She had an above-average IQ. Her grades were fine. She was responsive, curious, and a gifted artist. Sometimes she drooled or appeared distracted, but she did her homework on time. Checking the audio. I'm still there, okay? All right. Morgan's parents have an erratic pattern of employment. Her mother, Angie, was laid off last November from her job at a hospital. Matt receives government assistance for a mental illness. When he was a teenager, he was hospitalized for something like a schizophrenic break himself. Morgan's dark imagination can seem disconcerting, but to tour the Facebook pages of both girls' parents is to find oneself immersed in a mental music and fairy paintings, and Morgan's home seems to have an especially gothic flavor. One of her father's alleged email usernames was "I Love Evil." All right. Thanks, Ab. All right, his username was "I Love Evil," blah, blah, blah.
All right, add a few more minutes. I thought I'd dip back in. I did upgrade your status there on install.
Thank you. Yeah, I saw that. I was just reading an article. Did you hear that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. It's about the Slender Man thing I was going on about before.
Okay, I'll listen a bit if you're still doing it. I have a few more minutes.
The live stream, it gets recorded, right? So even if there's long... Yeah, okay. I thought so. So anyway, Ab, you'll be kind of in the dark at this point, but maybe it'll make sense towards the end. I'm just reading the article and asking people if they think the article's fake, if this whole story is fake. What do we think? One of the girls, the alleged killer, her father's alleged email username was "I Love Evil," at least according to the English newspaper, the Daily Mail, so a tabloid. His Instagram handle was deadboy420. And on that feed, he posted along with family pictures brass knuckles tipped with skulls and a skull and crossbones birthday card he'd sent his wife.
Deadboy 420. 420 is the famous date, you know, whose birthday.
That's right. Yeah, April 20th, April 19th, 20th is a big date for those people. It's true. And it also refers to smoke and weed.
Right, which is probably because of Hitler's birthday.
There's all kinds of urban legends about that one, yep. So this apparently this girl's father was kind of a, you know, a gothic type person. Anyway, that's the picture that's being painted for us. Just 2 months before the stabbing, Matt, the father, proudly posted a drawing Morgan made of Slender Man. Only Mogo draws Slender Man in crayon on a napkin when we are out to dinner. And that's the quote. So his nickname for his daughter is Mogo. And I explained earlier that the reason, allegedly, these two girls killed their friend was to please this fictional character, because in order to get in his good graces, they have to commit a blood sacrifice.
Oh, brother.
So this article starts off asking, if they knew it was a fictional character, why did they kill their friend? And that's kind of the context. But, where was I? So... All right, it's getting kind of long. I might skip ahead to the end. Give me a second. Any comments after learning that?
Not really. It all starts to sound like CIA fiction. I've always said that I think the best fiction writers work for the CIA. And the ones that get rewarded that are really great, they promote as great authors. Let them make all the money from the books.
Yeah. And it is especially suspicious, I think, because it has this whole tie-in to an online, essentially a community that has arisen around this character and story of the Slender Man who terrorizes children. And, you know, there's people who write all kinds of fan fiction and things like that. And that type of stuff, I believe, is probably created by intelligence agencies in a lot of cases.
Yeah, well, I think you got to follow the money, and I think they have all the money to spend time creating all this stuff. And they probably create a lot of stuff, and who knows which stuff gets promoted to the media.
Well, yeah, and the people complain about a lack of creativity in Hollywood, you know, like all these movies are just getting remade, and the scripts suck, the plots are terrible. And maybe that's because most of the creative people get funneled into more important positions.
I'm looking up the story now. I never heard of it. Wasn't there... I think there were two killings. Oh, what was it? There was a similar thing happened. I watched the movie in Britain where some boy was being manipulated. Okay, it's all coming back to me now. Some boy was being manipulated through some kind of... I can't remember how he was contacted. Go out and do certain things. With his best friend, and it eventually sort of climaxed to some kind of homosexual act that he had to do on his best friend, and then he ended up killing him or something, and then it turned out all along that it was his best friend that was doing the manipulating, backfired on him, something like that. I can't remember. Some of the British listenership might know what I'm talking about. I can't remember it right now. It was some kind of movie, though. Huh. Sounds similar. I think it was also fake, a whole fake story.
Well, this article goes on to describe some pretty strange behavior from these girls in terms of, like, their because the author says that he accessed the court files because they were left open. So in the evidence was all these notes and Facebook posts and, you know, diary entries and things like that, drawings. And he says that this one girl, Morgan in particular, had a rich fantasy life of Voldemort, Snape, villains from Harry Potter were especially vivid. Voldemort she called Voldy as if he were her pet. She regarded Spock, Star Trek's Vulcan, as a mentor of sorts, a tutor in how to suppress emotion. And the author said...
You know, the children... I have children, and I am a huge consumer of the internet. And all these dark places on the internet, I can't get past YouTube half the time. I know there's lots of internet, but I think most people can't get past the fluff on the internet. You know, the so-called dark web that is talked about on the No Agenda show. All the ISIS recruiting sites. Can anyone put a link to an ISIS recruiting site? Because I can't find it. And there's no way young teenagers are going to give a rat's crap about any of these things. They're too stuck on these vapid YouTubers that are the new stars of their lives.
Well, yeah, and that's funny you mentioned that, because I actually just recently started watching a certain vapid YouTuber who explores the deep web, and he tells you how it's done. And at
some
point, where
is the deep web? I need to find it. I want to dive in.
Well, here you can go on YouTube and find tutorials, but here's the thing. Deep web and dark web are actually two different terms. Dark web is referring to the nasty stuff that you want to stay away from. All the
That's
stuff
the comment
that
section on most blogs.
Well, right. It's very, but it's nastier than that. Like, and this is just what they say. I don't know firsthand,
yeah.
But, and so deep web is more of a technical term that they say they describe the internet. You know, if you look at it as an iceberg, the very tip is the clear web, the surface web, the web that we know, what we call the internet. The deep web is below all that, which is just a lot of raw data, which isn't compiled and managed in a way that humans can readily sort through it. But there's also a lot of websites, too. And if you've ever made an old, like, GeoCities webpage or Angel Fire webpage way back in the day in the 90s, you could probably find it on the deep web, from what I understand from watching a few YouTube videos. I've never done it myself. But
you know, I used to make my own web pages before I got into the blogging software, which just made it much easier. It took forever to create anything. It was a real pain. I couldn't even find good software. It's not easy.
I mean, coding HTML in Notepad, right? That's what I did.
Yeah, it was archaic. It was awful. It was useless. It made ugly web pages. I mean, I remember using the Flash tag all the time. Everyone hated that. I think they banned it.
Lots of fire.
Yeah, the bottom line is that I think they're just preying upon people's ignorance of the internet. And yes, it's a new medium. They're trying to make people afraid of it. Maybe they're afraid of the usefulness of it, but I think for the most part they've succeeded in corralling everyone on the internet into YouTube and watching all these young people with these handheld cameras that are with a video stabilizer and basically talking about how empty their lives are, even though they're backed by massive production houses now. There's a lot of money behind these people, even though they're supposed to be natural and organic. I don't think that's true at all, but... They're blocking the real power of the internet, which is to look up stuff like I've researched about squatting toilets that might save your life.
Yes, real information that is independently published, and from what I've learned that there is a lot of that stuff on the deep web, which you have to access using the Tor browser, and a lot of
that's all nonsense. I'm sure of it.
You think? Well, here's the thing about it, and the major appeal to the Tor browser in Linux is the anonymity that you get, and that's why people do so much illegal stuff on the deep web. I'm pretty convinced that people have bought and received illegal drugs from deep websites and from surface websites.
But how do they ship them? UPS?
Regularly with anonymous addresses, but that's a
distraction. Well, how do you set up an anonymous address? I like to know
my
the mechanics
is,
of it to blow it apart, that I think it's all...
There's lots of text files out there that could tell you how to do that stuff, but my point is, what you learn when you watch some of these videos is that the Tor network was created by the U.S. Navy.
Of course.
So,
well, the only Tor browser activity on my website was Luzo that came to the website, always came through a Tor browser, so that's the deepest web that hit me. Recently,
for anonymity's sake, yes, and
yeah.
A lot. The reason you can't find deep web links is because the address is different, and most mainstream sites won't allow them to be published because of the content that people can find from those links. I think, but so if it was created by the U.S. Navy, then this whole thing about anonymity is a pipe dream. It's propaganda because they even say even a layman like me can find out that the end source of your communication always knows your real IP address. So it can be encrypted the whole way from point A to Z, but Z is going to know who you are.
Yeah, I agree.
Or at least where you are.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt it. You know who you are, where you are.
So I actually think that the Tor network and all that stuff is probably real, but I haven't been on it myself, so I don't know. But it's real, and it's also a big hoax, essentially. Well, it's a honeypot. It is. It's a big honeypot because it attracts people looking to do illegal stuff, and it's also distributing all kinds of weird propaganda that incites people who are already on the edge of sanity could find all kinds of inspiring things out there. Did that come through?
Yeah, I heard you.
So I'm kind of curious about it. I would try it. They say you get a flash drive and you download a certain build of Linux, install it on the flash drive and run that from your preferred computer or device, and then you connect to the Tor network on that. But there's probably other ways that you're not going to learn about on YouTube because people know better. Like, we're always a few steps behind.
Well, I don't know. I'm quite skeptical about the whole thing. Anything that seems like too much work, there are old-fashioned ways to stop criminal activity. They're probably more tried and true. Why would you venture on the internet?
Yeah, it seems like a really bad idea, honestly. But if you consider that the U.S. government or governments in general may be the biggest drug dealers, then they might just allow a certain portion of this stuff to go on. And when they bust people, it's for particular reasons or just because they have to maintain a quota.
Sure. Yeah. Well, they might be the high-level distribution possible.
Yeah, it's funny. If you search deep web anything on YouTube, you'll find lots of fictional horror stories that are like what I was talking about the Slender Man, just like gore, violence, and just abject, you know, stuff that I don't like to look at. But that's what's popular on YouTube, is people make horror stories about what happened when they click the wrong link on the deep web. And so that whole meme, that genre is probably created again. It's probably an intelligence operation.
Sure. Yeah, I think most people are trapped on the outer fringe nonsense end of the internet, and it's really taken over. Again, if someone can point me to an ISIS recruiting site for teenage girls, I'd like to see it. They always talk about it, but they don't actually link to it. Is it just too deep in the deep web?
Yeah, they could at least show us a screenshot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pretty murky, you know. I don't know enough about it. I'm just going off the top of my head after watching a few YouTube videos. I would like to talk to, you know, somebody who's more technically knowledgeable and see what they, like a computer science student or something like that, see what they have to say about it.
I'm just looking at the local newspaper. Read your local newspaper wherever you are, Milwaukee?
From time to time, I check it. A lot of our local papers have died or become advertising rags and are very thin on any kind of content. But I look at police reports and stories that appear to be more serious, not fluff.
Okay. Yeah, it's just hard to read a local newspaper, and there's a lot of local, I think, fakery. Mostly just stuff to bring attention to illegal apartments, fire code violations, just pretty minor stuff, really, but gotta wonder if it's put there to bring attention to real problems, but they just invent stories to dramatize the problem.
Well, it's kind of a native advertising for government or increased government regulation. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, I always wonder who is actually responsible for this stuff, because it's not the local news stations. They're not coming up with these stories. So there has to be a contracting group in every major market that handles this stuff, and they get orders from somewhere about what the agenda for the next story is, and then they go ahead and prepare the package. for the station or something like that.
Yeah, I think they're fed the information. It's an unnamed source.
Yeah, yeah. There haven't been any crazy stories locally that I can think of lately here. Slender Man thing was 2013. Well, that mosque, the mosque shooting, the white supremacist who shot up that mosque in outside Milwaukee, that was, what, 2014, I think? 2013, maybe? Maybe 2013 was a big year for us.
Things have calmed down in the shooting PSYOP department in the U.S. for the most part. It was going fast and furious for a while.
April 20th is right around the corner, though. There's always something on April 20th somewhere. Columbine was one.
Yeah, that's getting old, though. That's getting back in time.
The Sikh temple shooting was August 5th, 2012, in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Wade Michael Page, yeah, and that guy, his name has popped up in a couple other places, different things before the shooting happened, like FBI sting type stuff.
Yeah. Well, so that was high, too...
This one's highly.
Oh, yeah, I remember looking at that in 2012. That was one of the first things I was telling people about that most likely fake. That was before I realized, well, it wasn't before, but it was at the time when I started to see that so many of the smaller stories were definitely manufactured.
Right. Yeah, Wisconsin was pretty active at that time. Our whole capital was in turmoil because of the governor, and there was massive protests. And
yes, that's Scott Walker, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess maybe those protests were real.
I witnessed them myself, so I can tell you they were. But I'm sure the people leading them were not entirely above board in some cases.
Well, yeah, they could have been co-opted. What do you think of my post I put up on fakeologist.com? Did you get a chance to look at that?
About the protests here, or which one?
Oh, politicians for the people. Did you have any politicians for the people in Wisconsin?
Well, there's this legendary one, Bob La Follette, and he's one of the, you know, touted as one of the great progressive politicians in United States history, and he was from Wisconsin, and one of his descendants is still around. So Bob La Follette, he was allegedly for the people, but I don't know. I wasn't alive when he was active, but they still have
what happened to him?
I think he just died of old age. But they have there's a festival every year called Bob Fest in his honor, his memory, where all the progressives get together and pat each other on the back.
That's a little too old. I was talking about something more recent. I'm looking at that now. I'm talking, that's 100 years ago. You got anyone more recent?
No. We had McCarthy, the Joseph McCarthy came from Wisconsin.
No. I'm talking about these politicians that come along that are populist. Well, yeah, I would even go as far as saying Schwarzenegger would be one of them. And
if you're going that route, it's probably Russ Feingold, who was our longtime senator, big liberal Democrat, but Israel supporter. So popular amongst most lefties, but not amongst others. And he's a populist. We have our lesbian congresswoman, Tammy Baldwin. She's probably a populist.
Okay. Any that died suddenly?
Not that I can think of. Paul Wellstone was from Minnesota.
Yeah. He was a deciding vote on Gulf War, I think.
Minnesota has a rich history of acting politicians. Al Franken and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
we're lagging behind. We need to get, I think we should elect Brett Favre for governor. He would be incredibly popular.
Yeah, he was a QB for Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. He'd go far. I was thinking along the lines of, well, we have in Toronto Rob Ford, Jack Layton, Canadian, JFK and all the other Kennedys, Martin Luther King, Pim Fortuyn over in the Netherlands, Paul Wellstone, and there was a Quebec politician, a media slash politician who died in a plane crash with his whole family, allegedly. That's the kind of thing I was trying to get at.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note and look up what I can find on that, because there probably is one if you go back far enough. It might not be recent.
Yeah, it was just a thought I've always had about the about how these people are taken away.
Yeah.
And I think there's more to it than just the official story.
Oh, yeah, I agree, because it seems like the whole thing is rigged, in that if anyone real manages to slip in there somehow, they gotta go.
Well, they just disrupt the system. The system is too big to change, I am sure of that, but I am still looking into, I'm still watching Rick Potvin, who used to be a guest on Fakeologist. He just put an entry in his blog about Antarctica. He's trying to do a study of Antarctica, try and figure out if it's really just a 60,000-mile rim or if it's a 15,000-mile island.
I'm fascinated by Antarctica, and I considered applying for a contract job down there because, you know, somebody like me who's not qualified with all kinds of technical qualifications, I could probably work in a warehouse or janitorial or kitchen staff. But I looked at a website where you could do it, and I've actually met two people who said that they were contractors in Antarctica, and we interacted on a very personal basis. You know, I was working at the house of the woman's mother. It was this woman's daughter and her husband who were the Antarctic contractors, and she was in charge of, you know, some sort of personnel management kind of office work, and he was in charge of shipping and receiving in a certain warehouse.
Okay.
And they would work during our winter. They would be gone, so they would come back to the U.S. in the summer and just kind of travel the world with their... And I think they made fairly decent money doing it because they just kind of lived a pretty lazy lifestyle when they weren't there.
Okay.
But, that was interesting, I thought, because I met them right around the time I was starting to look at flat Earth stuff, so I thought that was interesting.
I don't know how much they could really tell you, though, because it's just when you go somewhere that you're very restricted where you can go, because it's just so damn cold. You can't just take a weekend trip over to the other side of the wherever they were. So.
But, yeah, where most of the people go, when there's the most people there, it's the warm season, so it's actually not that cold. It's actually not that cold.
Well, no, I think it's still damn cold.
Well, it gets up into the... It can be like 20 degrees Fahrenheit during some days, I think, in the warm season.
Okay, well, that's still cold to me, especially if the wind's blowing.
Well, sure, that's cold, but it ain't negative 50, you know, with wind chill.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to be hanging out outside.
Well, no,
yeah.
It's a highly compartmentalized environment, and all the people who are there just... have no reason to question what's happening there, I think. You know, that's my hypothesis or speculation on it. So they just don't think twice about it. And they're like, yeah, I'm on the northern tip of Antarctica or wherever outlying place they fly from South America to or sail from. I think they take boats in. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, Rick, I'm gonna post this on flatearth.fakeologist.com. This is just Rick's... little post on his blog, the Antarctic virtual circumnavigation of Antarctica. That's what it's called. I'll post it for anyone who's interested. flatearth.fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I mean it's fascinating because people, you know, say that, well, there's people who claim to have circumnavigated it and all this type of thing and the sailboats, and I haven't looked into that angle, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. But well, he said here, I just noticed he said he's going to discuss it with me on a podcast. Yeah, I did invite him, but he says he doesn't have enough information to go forward talk about it yet.
He sounds like an honest guy because none of us have a lot of information about what's really going on in Antarctica, and it would take quite a lot of, you know, means to gather such information.
Well, there's no risk of anyone in the world discovering anything, I don't think, about it. It's just too far and too cold. That's a perfect thing to lie about.
Well, it's like those guys back in 2012 who were on Coast to Coast and all these shows raising money for this North Pole expedition where they're going to find the entrance to the Hollow Earth. And they said, oh, we have, yes, this great Russian vessel. It's professional, you know, grade. We're going to take, like, 600 people. No, it must be like 60 people or something like that. Just, you know, primo accommodations, like, but it's going to cost a bunch of money, so we need your donations. Then you never heard about it again.
Isn't it funny? The Russians always have these fantastic scientific expedition vehicles, yet they're the enemy. It's just, I'm surprised they don't lay it on the North Koreans that have all the great deep sea vessels or the cold weather vessels, or it's just, I guess the angle for Russia is just, it's so much of Russia's cold that they would have the expertise in cold exploration. But it's funny how they're always cooperating when it comes to these mysterious places. But on the other hand, they're against Russia even today all over the world where they're the enemy. It's like World War II. They were the ally to take out the Germans. The minute that was over, they became the enemy.
Russia
ridiculous.
Does. They do have this kind of mythical perception amongst certain conspiracy people because they have the most exotic weaponry. The most exotic stuff always comes from Russia, you hear about.
I suppose it's just because they're so... most people can't understand Russian, so just the word just can't come out about what's really going on there, which is probably not much.
And I guess we could talk about poutine, the put-in. I thought that was very funny. I never noticed that, but his name is put-in.
Yeah, I don't. But I find it funny that he speaks perfect English.
I've heard a lot of people commenting on the U.S.-Russia paradigm in the last few years, and it all seems like hot air to me, like nobody actually knows what they're talking about, except that it seems to me like every major nation is working together on some level. There may be manufactured disagreements, and there may be real disagreements that play out in the public, but ultimately, whoever's disagreeing still agrees on the major points, which is that they have to keep doing what they're doing. Delqua had posted over on his blog a audio of an Icelandic guy and a Norwegian guy talking to political, you know, behind this curtain type stuff, and it was pretty interesting.
Oh yeah, Outside Radio blogspot.ie. What's it called? NB.
If you scroll down a little bit, and it's deep. What is it? Deep dive. There's a scuba diver in the image.
I don't know. Oh, here we go. Deep diving from Iceland, the Panama Papers. Yeah, I haven't got into the Panama Papers. I'm just guessing from the No Agenda show. It's just another intelligence meme. Oh, 4 hours and 22
Hello,
minutes.
Hello, Edna. Welcome to Scandinavian Report. My name is Axel Peter Axelsson, and I'm an Icelander. And I'm waiting for my colleague, Mr. Goyalis Reinberg, which is his English name. And he should drop in any minute now. But we have been looking at the situation in Iceland lately. And this.
Did you listen all 4 hours and 22 minutes and 55 seconds? Nice numbers, by the way.
I didn't even realize it was that long, so no, I didn't listen to that much of it. Probably the first hour I got through. But I was just listening to it kind of casually, not paying attention to how long it actually was. Oh boy, if I could even remember, they were just talking about just some of the intrigue that's going on and sharing knowledge in it. Just a very like nice discussion, who are very thoughtful about, you know, intrigue and fakery. They kind of touched on new coaxes a little bit.
And, oh, really? I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll put it in my pile of things to listen to. Delcroix.
Yeah, give it a try.
Delcroix, we're trying to get him back on the broadcast. I was wondering, we're working on getting him back.
Whenever I regularly check his blog, but if I have run out of stuff to listen to, I'll go there, and there's always something that I haven't seen yet that I find interesting.
Yes, yes, he has a more eclectic taste than I do. Sure. I don't listen to a lot of his stuff that he likes, but
it's a different kind of eclectic. I'm a big fan of the controlled demolition videos myself.
Yeah. Oh, they're great, aren't they? They're I mean, the demolitions are perfect for the most part.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. It shows that, you know, people do understand certain amounts of science enough to be able to do that to a building.
Well, the point is, there's no reason why they couldn't have taken down the Twin Towers perfectly because they were so tall. They do so many different types of buildings at CDI. There are all kinds of towers and radio towers and huge apartment complexes and choreograph it to music. Just, it's amazing.
Oh, well, one thing that Greg, New Jersey, had said that, and I don't agree with him about everything, but one thing he had said was that he had personally witnessed holes drilled in the supporting concrete structure in one of the dead zones in the tower.
Yeah. I don't believe anything he said now.
Well, sure. And I don't know if I'd ever heard that before, but so, you know, there he is advocating that it was likely it was pre-planned to be demolished, but that in itself if it's true, like it's common sense, really. If they could pull it off, why wouldn't you do that? But to drill holes in a supporting structure also doesn't seem like a good idea.
I don't think it would really ruin the integrity of the whole thing. Two holes here and there, or a lot of holes. I don't think it would make. I think these things, buildings, are over-engineered by factors of hundreds, I believe.
Right. They plan to have a lifespan. That effort's put into building them, it's not like anyone's operating under the delusion that it'll be there forever.
Yes.
We tied it back around to 9/11. Nice job.
I know. And now I think I'm going to have to hit the hay. I start early. Started early, so I'm kind of out of oops.
Caught you right at the end of your work day.
Yep. And now it's almost the end of the day. Those that start really early, so. But, good discussion. I'm sorry that nobody else decided to drop in. But maybe we'll encourage people to start chatting again. We don't have any particular thing that we talked about, and it's still interesting to me. And I think others can contribute if we can encourage people.
Yeah, just come, you know, log into TeamSpeak and hang out for a few minutes at the very least. See what.
Yeah, I'm going to try and log in and stay logged in more often because I was just logged in for a bit. I thought Delcroix was coming by, and then I heard you came into the room, so I was glad I was sitting here waiting like a trapdoor spider.
Oh, well, it's too bad Del didn't show up. But anyway, yeah, good chatting with you.
Yeah, and again, just if you're looking for someone to talk to, you got to stay hanging out in the lobby. Just stay logged in, and then and that way when someone else comes in, you'll be available. I just find that a lot of people come in and leave right away. there to sort of stay logged in. And if you're near your computer, you can hear other people come into the room. Basically, it usually announces so-and-so logged in or logged out. All right, it looks like I'm going to update my TeamSpeak now. It just told me it's got to be updated to 3.0.19. We'll chat at you later.
Hi, this is Java Ring, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.